Ever wish you could reduce some of the mental load of motherhood or that invisible work that needs to get done at home? Well, look no further. On this episode, I'm sitting with Anna McKay, a leadership development coach for working parents, and we're discussing a strategy called fair play. My favorite part of this episode is when she describes the three steps needed to get any work done at home, including conception, planning, and execution. It was an eye-opener for me, and I have a feeling it will be for many of you as well. And hey, this might even be the one episode you decide to share with your spouse. Let's go ahead and dive on in. Hey there, welcome to Working Mom Moments. Do you find yourself craving work-life balance and wishing you had more time in your day? Do you find yourself up late at night Googling how to get it all done, how to increase energy, or even searching for flexible jobs? Hey there, I'm Lacey. I too am a working mom that has struggled with the juggling act of getting it all done. I wanted more energy, less stress, and honestly, a little time to do something for myself. But I kept telling myself, well, this is just the way of life for working moms, and I had to power through until I found a little secret. I needed to get unstuck in order to create a life I truly enjoyed at home and at work. In this podcast, you'll find that secret too. You'll find time-saving solutions, motivation for the hard days, and a roadmap to mindset transformation. If you're ready to thrive as a working mom, you're in the right place. Block off this time on your calendar as a meeting with yourself, and let's dig in. Hey y'all, do you want to come hang out with a group of working moms who get what it's like to juggle career and motherhood? Inside the free Working Mom Moments Facebook group, you'll get support, encouragement, time-saving solutions, motivation for the hard days, and really strategies to help with the mental load of being a working mom. Simply head over to facebook.com/groups/workingmommoments. Also, I would love for you to become an insider and get regular emails from me, including the latest blogs and podcast episodes so you don't miss a thing, and tips and perspectives to help you find better balance and more joy as a working mom. Simply head over to laceyjungman.com/insider. I'll see you there. Welcome back to Working Mom Moments. I am your host, Lacey Jungman, and today I'm super excited because we have a guest joining us, Anna McKay. Anna is a sought-after return to work and leadership development coach and the founder of Parents Pivot. She's on a mission to help women successfully navigate career transitions and lead with confidence in careers they love. I am so excited to have Anna on this show because she and I see eye to eye when it comes to blend over balance and pursuing that elusive notion of balance that can often leave us feeling as though we're a failure. And so she actually has a workshop for ERGs that is rooted in work-life balance or work-life blend. And she also talks a lot about fair play. So Anna, I'm going to let you take the microphone and give us a little bit of background on how you got into this world and how you help working parents.
Yay. Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. I love your podcast and love the work that you're doing. So I'm really, really excited to be here. Thank you. So I got started with Parents Pivot. I've been a coach since 2008 and I loved coaching. I was an expat twice. I was in the Philippines and Beijing and moved to Houston. And so for about 11 years, I was coaching people returning to paid work, people through career transitions. And I noticed through my expat experiences and my move to Houston, a lot of people who had left paid work and were looking to get back, but were finding it super challenging. And so I developed a program and started Parents Pivot in 2019 to focus on parents returning to paid work. And since then, I noticed that a lot of the challenges that my returners face, my working parents face too. So I've added supporting parents navigating through paid work too. So returning to and navigating through paid work. And one of those common challenges is exactly kind of what you mentioned. How do I get that blend of work and life that works for me? Part of the work that I do and this one of the common challenges that I see is how to navigate that blend of work and life. And one of the tools that I've really really found to be super helpful with that is the Fair Play Method from Eve Rodsky. I love it. And it's so funny, the number of people that I run into that don't know about Eve Rodsky's book, Fair Play, and how helpful I feel like it is. It's really a home management system. It's a whole system designed to help us figure out all the things that we've got to do at home and figure out how to navigate that, how to disperse that among family members, and how to get everything done so that we can have more equity at home and more equity in the workplace. And so I love this system. It's made up of several different components, which I'm happy to talk more about.
Yeah, I would love for you to, if you can unpack that a little bit more, even for listeners who say, okay, what is a home management system? Like, what is that? How can I incorporate a little bit more equity into what I'm doing every day?
Yeah. So, well, one of the things is, you know, there's data on all the unpaid labor that women do, right? $627 billion represents the dollar value of the unpaid labor that women in the U.S. do. And so, like, that's a huge number. And there's also data that shows that women spend 52 minutes every day on unpaid labor and men spend 23 minutes a day on that unpaid labor. So there's a disparity, right? And if we're looking to get more equity in the workplace, we need to kind of make the work at home a little bit more equitable. And so what Fair Play does is there's a couple of components to it. The first thing, and probably the thing that most people know about and hear about first, is her 100 cards. She came up with this list. She calls it the shit I do list of all the work that needs to get done at home. And then she's come up with this system of 100 cards where she lays out each of those tasks. And as a family, you go through it and you kind of pick and choose what's important to you. There's, you know, several cards that relate to just home care work. There's several cards that if you have kids, those get added in. If you have pets, those get added in. So you as a family kind of decide what cards are valuable to you, which cards make up all the things, all the shit that you need to get done kind of at home. And so one, the first benefit of it is just laying it all out so that we can see it all. Sometimes it's that unpaid labor. It's that invisible work that gets done. And I love these cards because it makes that invisible work visible through these cards. And it's a great opportunity to have a kind of conversation with your partner about, like, okay, well, this is all the stuff. And to see that visually represented in the cards and, like, look, I hold 87 cards. This is all the work that I'm doing. It's a great representation. It's a great way to kind of start the conversation to say, let's rearrange this deck a little bit and see so that it can work for everybody in the family.
I love that. And I think it's so helpful to have those cues of the cards, because we often do tasks that we don't even realize that we're doing. And it will tax our brain. It will tax our emotions. It's part of that mental load of motherhood that we don't even realize we're carrying because we're so used to doing. And it may drain us. It may be something that brings us joy and energy. And those are things that we can rattle off the top of our head, or the things we absolutely hate, we can rattle off the top of our head. It's when you have almost this indifference that you can't think of those tasks that you're doing. And that is the weight that will sit on our shoulders for sure. Yes. So I love the idea of having these cards. If somebody doesn't have these cards, how can they begin the conversation with their spouse to begin Fair Play?
Yes. So I think beginning the conversation with your spouse is kind of one of the most difficult parts to implementing the Fair Play system, because it works best when everybody's kind of on board. And so I think part of that conversation involves, like, look, this is the challenge I'm facing. I'm feeling very overwhelmed by all the stuff that I have to do at home. Would you like to partner with me so that we can all kind of get the most that we want out of this relationship, out of our work life, out of our home life, and we can both feel a little bit more of kind of an ability to take a breath after, when we get out of our paid work. So yeah.
I love that. One of the things I've learned, so I've been in senior living sales for most of my adult career. And one of the things we've learned when talking with families, because it's a high emotion sale, right? Senior living is. And I've learned over the years the importance of stating your intentions. And I imagine that this could be a high stakes emotional conversation as well. And it would need to be set with intentions of, you know, hey, I want to share something with you. My intentions are not to say that you're doing it wrong or that I do everything and you do nothing, but I want to have a conversation about how I feel. And here's the reasons why. Are you open to that? And so I imagine, what are your thoughts on something like that? It sounds a little cheesy, maybe.
No, I love that. I love that. Yes, yeah, setting in the attention and being clear about what you want and being clear that like you're looking for a partnership. And I love that you're saying like, it's not your fault. It's not my fault. We're just looking for a different way to work together on this and like, and promoting kind of the benefits to everybody. So setting that intention and talking about how this kind of could benefit everybody in the family, everybody in the relationship. So yeah,
I love it. I love it. Okay. One thing I've also heard you talk about before is the concept of CPE, conception, planning, and execution. Help me out. Tell me more about this.
Yeah. Well, and I love, you know, this is another one of the tools used and referenced in the Fair Play book by Eve Rodsky. And when you were talking about earlier about that mental load, you know, of course those 100 cards help us kind of see that. CPE helps us see that kind of invisible labor even more because the concept of conception, planning, and execution, all of that work that's done in kind of conceptualizing a task. So let's say, conception refers to kind of like the understanding of what needs to get done, right? So let's take the example of going to the grocery store and maybe your kid has a favorite kind of mustard or a favorite kind of, you know, hot dogs that they want, right? The conception piece of that task is knowing that, right? Knowing that my daughter prefers X brand of crackers. And so I need to make sure that those crackers are in the pantry, right? So that's the conception of it. The planning piece is, well, I know those crackers are running out. Next time we go to the grocery store, I need to make sure that those are purchased. And do we have enough to make it to the next grocery store run, right? So that's the planning piece of it. And then the execution piece of it would be going to get those crackers. So every task, every one of those 100 cards is made up of conception, planning, and execution of that task. And it's like, it really lays out. And when you think about for yourself and your family, what does conception look like for going to the grocery store? What does planning look like for going to the grocery store? What is execution? You see that conception and planning piece, those are the pieces that are kind of invisible. The crackers just kind of magically show up in your pantry, right? Like, so that's the execution piece, but that C and that B kind of get lost. And that's where what Eve Rodsky mentioned in her book is that if one person can take full ownership of CPE for a task, then they understand and they do all that kind of invisible labor behind just the execution piece. Oftentimes what we do is hand off just that execution piece. So, and that kind of misses all of that invisible labor, right? And so that's really critical and really key. And I think when one person can take over full CPE ownership of it, of a task, like even making dinner, you know, making dinner consists of getting the food on the table, right? But it also consists of planning that meal, figuring out who likes what. Are we, you know, not everybody in your family is going to like the same meal. So, you know, are we making sure that everybody gets something during the week that they enjoy, right? So having one person kind of do that meal planning and take full ownership of conception, planning the meals, of planning, making sure that the food gets bought, of execution, of cooking the meal, then that person kind of, it's the whole system works better and nothing and fewer things get missed.
I love that. I can, as you were talking, I'm picturing my own marriage in this, right? And I think so often, and I'm guessing, I'm going to make an assumption here that a lot of women take the C and the P and pass off the E because yes. I do that, right? Like my husband is a doer and he's so willing to help wherever is needed. He will often do the execution of like taking the kids to practices or getting people here or there. Or if I say, hey, we need to pick up that favorite mustard or the favorite, you know, crackers. Can you grab that on the way home, right? Like he's so willing to help, but it is that mental load that is hard to describe of like, the conception and the planning that goes into that, because there is a lot of thought that goes into just doing the task. The task in and of itself is critical. It has to get done, but there's a lot that goes into the process before the execution happens. Do you see that it's common for especially working women to take on the C and the P and delegate the E?
Exactly. Yes. Yes. And that leaves the partner who's doing the E feeling like, what? I did it. I told you, you asked me to do it and I did it, right? What else do you want me to do? It leaves them kind of befuddled about like why you're getting upset, because they don't realize and they don't see that C and that P that went into it. And that's the problem of just making a list and say, a honey-do list, right? That's the problem of saying like, you do this list, that takes away the C and the P. And so what Fair Play encourages is really taking full ownership of every task so that you don't give up that C and that P and that E. And so I love that you mentioned sports. Like, so in that example, if your husband were to own full ownership of the sports, that would mean that your husband figures out who's doing what sports activity for the spring, let's say, and he signs them all up. He makes sure that their soccer shoes are ready. He makes sure that he's the one on the list communicating between the coach and the team parents, which usually that falls to the mom, but he makes sure he's on that list and he makes sure he knows when those practices are. He knows when you've got several kids, like, so several kids' practices are happening at different times. He makes sure he knows like when we need to show up to games, who needs a ride where. Like, that's taking full CPE ownership of a practice, right? And one thing that's encouraged in the Fair Play system is that for a task that somebody's already halfway involved in, that one partner is already doing the execution of, why not give them the C and the P of that task, because they're already partially involved in that task and they can just practice taking over the rest of that. There's a concept in the book that's called rats. And so I love the name because she talks about, she doesn't want you to throw out rats, and rats are randomly assigned tasks. So when we own everything in the household, we can kind of ask for help every now and again and throw out a randomly assigned task, right? And then things might get missed because that the other person doesn't normally do that. They don't know, they don't have all the background, they don't have all the conception and planning to fully execute that task in the way that it's always done, right? And so if somebody takes full CPE ownership, those rats don't, there are fewer rats in your household, and don't we all want fewer rats or none?
Should be the tagline for this episode. Don't you want fewer rats in your household? I love that. Okay. So one of the things you've also shared about this whole concept of fair play is minimum standard of care and importance.
Yes.
Am I getting that right?
Yes, 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 yes. So the minimum standard of care is, you know, we all have to agree on what does it look like to get a task done? What is the minimum standard of care in our home? And that's going to look different for everybody. And that's something that your family agrees on together. It's based on, you know, what your family values, which is going to be different for everybody. And then you agree on that. Like, what does minimum standard of care mean for example, the dishes, right? In our house, minimum standard of care for the dishes means that all the dirty dishes get in the dishwasher at the end of the night. We turn on the dishwasher and it runs overnight. Like, that's minimum standard of care for us. For somebody else, it might mean that minimum standard of care is that all the dishes get washed at night and put away. We put away the dishes in the morning. So it depends on what works for you and what works for your family, but just agreeing that, okay, minimum standard of care means that one person loads the dishes, puts the dishwasher on, and unloads them in the morning. So completes all of those tasks together. So,
okay, I'm going to throw a curveball at you.
Okay.
What if, hypothetically, not at all my own personal experience, hypothetically, if
right.
one person had a minimum standard of care that was different, for example, One preferred to have it all cleaned up at night, and the other was perfectly fine leaving it until the next day.
Yes.
How
yes.
did you come
So
to an agreement?
Let's think about that. What could that happen, right? And so then it goes back to, you know, that intention, you know, and the importance, and why is it important to you or somebody to have everything cleaned up at night, right? Why is that important? For many people, having a lot of stuff out on the kitchen or dirty dishes, like that adds to our anxiety, right? And so conveying that, like, this is important to me because it impacts my health and well-being. It impacts my mental state when I'm trying to unwind at night. And so conveying that, like, the importance behind the task that needs to get done and why it's so important, I think having that conversation is really helpful for somebody else to understand if that's not the way that they do things. And so, you know, and also, you know, thinking about like your background and how you grow up, that kind of plays a role in it too sometimes. So, you know, Eve Rodsky talks about her experience growing up and having, you know, having literal rats in her kitchen sometimes because the trash wasn't taken out at night, and the importance of like the trash needs to be taken out every night because I don't want rodents. I don't want ants. I want our home to be free of all of these bugs and critters. Right. And so that, like, hearing that is much more, you can hear how that hits home and how that really is valued and important to somebody versus like, why don't you take out the trash at night? It needs to be out. Right. So,
yeah. Okay. Okay. Hypothetically, I will incorporate better communication. I love that. Okay. So communication, I think, is critical, right? It can honestly solve a lot of problems out there in the world in general, let alone inside of our own homes. And to that point, I think there's a lot of communication that has to happen when somebody chooses to return back into the workforce and to paid work. And one thing I know is true is that you are a great coach for that. And you've actually even developed a course on helping individuals, parents, return back into paid work. So tell me more about your course.
Yes. So we have a course called Thrive Like a Mother, group coaching program for parents returning to paid work. And what we do is help people navigate that path back to paid work. It's a fully comprehensive program. And there's lots of challenges that people face when they're returning back to paid work. What do I want to do? How do I convey my skills to an employer? How do I do a resume, LinkedIn, interview stories, salary negotiation? And we cover all of that. One of the other things that's so common to returners and working parents that I coach is that piece of how am I going to navigate all of this unpaid work, right? How am I going to navigate that? And what we've done incorporated in the Thrive Group Coaching Program is this Fair Play workshop to help people understand and blend their work and life. And so what we do is it's a 9-week group coaching program. There's a one-on-one included in that. And there's a confidence building digital course. And the people that go through the program come out with so much more confidence about their ability to get back to paid work, so much more clarity about what they want to do and how to communicate that to an employer. It fuels my soul to do that work. It's really amazing to see the transformation that people go through. And I love helping people get back to paid work. And I think that's a perfect opportunity to kind of implement some of these Fair Play systems. You know, anytime there's going to be a big change like that so you're returning to paid work, you're adding in all the responsibilities of work. How are you going to, and you can't obviously add all that in and continue with all your home work. So how do you kind of split that up? Another opportunity is when a child is coming into your family, right? So navigating that time of parental leave or adoption. So that's a great opportunity to talk through kind of some of this, like, Okay, how are we getting all the work done at home, and how do we want to do that in the future? And it's something that I incorporate in that blend workshop for parents and caregivers too. And I'm helping parents and caregivers think about how do they want to work and integrate work and life. It's the perfect kind of system for that as well.
I love that because so often we think about in preparation of having a child or having a baby, giving birth, what that looks like. We think about the well-being of the mother. We think about the well-being of the child. We don't necessarily think about the impact on our marriage or how to get more work done because more work will happen at both home and at work. And so we often read the books of, I mean, I remember back, maybe I'm dating myself, but reading the books of what to expect while expecting and what you can expect each and every month. But really, one of the best gifts you can give yourself is yes, you can read those books, but also begin preparing for what that looks like in roles and duties and responsibilities inside of the home. Because that, I mean, I wish I would have, looking back, I wish I would have done something along those lines to set yourself up for success. And you know what? You can plan till the day is long and it still is not going to go according to plan because you have an infant and a brand new baby. But at the same time, at least having the conversations ahead of time can arm and prepare you. But what I also hear in your course that might be beneficial is for those that are going from the work from home setting, the remote setting, into the office. We've all heard that there's a big call back for return to office, and that can disrupt the home as well because that person, that parent that was working from home, had the ability to put a casserole in at 4 o'clock and let it bake and do nothing with it, right? They're still working, but they're home in case the house starts on fire. Or they can throw a load of laundry in instead of going to the water cooler in office. And so now those duties cannot be done by somebody inside of the house that's working from home, and they have to be done on ancillary hours. And so I could see this course being beneficial for those as well.
Exactly. That's a great point. Anytime we're making a huge shift in the way that we work, this is a great opportunity to have those conversations about, okay, well, how do we want to rearrange the home work as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I have so thoroughly enjoyed our conversation today. And for those of you listening, Parents Pivot offers those workshops to help parents return to and navigate through paid work. And for anybody listening today, you can reach out to Anna@parentspivot.com. And I will also put her contact information in the episode description if you'd like to reach out to her directly. And if you'd like to learn more about having her come speak to your ERG about Fair Play or work-life integration and blend, or if you'd like to learn more about how her coaching can support you through your significant career transitions, go ahead and reach out to her at her email or through the episode description links that will take you directly to a contact with her. I hope this episode has helped you, and I'd love for you to come and join and share your favorite working mom tip in my free community where we discuss mindset, motivation, time-saving strategies, and so much more. I'll meet you over at Facebook/groups/workingmommoments, and be sure to sign up for my insider email at laceyjungman.com/insider. I'll see you there. Hey y'all, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If so, would you take 30 quick seconds and share it with a friend who may need to hear this message as a working mom? Also, please leave a quick review for the show on Apple Podcasts. It lights me up when I hear from listeners to know that this podcast is helping you. Okay, time to cross a few more things off my never-ending to-do list. I know you can relate. So I'll meet you back here on Tuesday for another episode. Until our next Working Mom moment, have a beautiful day.